Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned in to GEI Radio, Necessary Convo. I am your host, Tone. Got my co-host, GG. What's going on?
What's up, my brother? How you feeling, man?
Good, man. Good. Everything's good. How about you?
Okay. I'm good, man. I'm excited about today, man. Today is the 4th of July. Which, tomorrow will be the 5th of July, and yesterday was the 3rd of July. So we rocking like we rocking every single day, man. We celebrating life. So, let me just jump in because I'm really excited about today's show. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing about today's show, Tom. Now, since, everybody has now got the Juneteenth awareness, Juneteenth education, then there should be a lot of people sitting their asses down on July 4th, right? technically, right? But no, man, I'm happy to have everybody on tonight's platform. I'm really thankful for everybody to have the availability to jump on here. So we gonna rock out. We got some really interesting topics tonight. Tony, I just did a pregame, man, before I got on here, man. So I'm going to have an influx of folks calling in because they got some things to say about the topics that we're going to get into. But before we do that, I want to salute everybody. I want to celebrate everybody because we are celebrating life, regardless of, you know, the back and forth on the traditional holiday and stuff like that. We're not even going to entertain that, right? So we're just going to celebrate and salute everyone. Every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Necessary Convo, formerly known as Freaky Friday. Like, I think it's pretty important, man, that every once in a while we tell everybody, yo, this show used to be Freaky Friday on Friday, you know, just so they know that, hey, we versatile as it gets. Whatever you want to talk about, whatever you're comfortable talking about, or even uncomfortable, we'll address it, and we'll be able to rock out with you, man. So man, just give these folks a reminder on how they could tap in, how they could send that message out, how they can connect online, and how to connect, you know, through the phone system. Let's go.
Definitely. I want to pass it on to your friends. They can dial 516-387-1268. That's 516-387-1268. If you want to listen in online, you can go to GEI Radio or Necessary_Convo and click the link and chat with us online. You can ask us questions online. We'll answer them. If you want to, if you're on and you want to, you know, have a question or say something, ask me and GG something or answer a question, just press 1. I'll get you on. And that's it, man.
And that's it. So we're going to jump right in because once we drop these topics off, if we can get through it, the lines are going to blow up, man. The lines going to blow up. But anyway, man, so how are you, man? How are you and your people, man? What you guys actually do today, man? How you spent your morning?
Well, honestly, I just left the hospital. I've been down there. My uncle's been in the hospital for about 15 days. We found out that he had stage 4 cancer, but he's in good spirit.
Yeah.
We praying and we're going to try some healthy remedies and, you know,
yeah,
work through it like that. But that's pretty much been my day today.
Okay. Understood,
but,
man. You know,
we didn't have the show last week, so I didn't get a chance to talk about how was your June 26th event?
Oh, man. Cool. We can jump right in. The 26th of June, guys, was the Luxury Ball right here in Atlanta. Our nonprofit organization that was honored was Keeping Veterans Fit. You can check that out, keepingveteransfit.org, keepingveteransfit.org. Go ahead and check out the organization right here in Atlanta. If they can assist you in any way or you want to assist them, check them out. So that being said, because it was most important to talk about the organization and what they do, we had a really good time, man. I'm not going to lie. I got the recap video done, man. I had them, you know, edit it, re-edit it, take some stuff out, man. So, you know, so it took a few extra days. But I'm going to drop the recap video, so you guys are going to have to follow us. Matter of fact, we'll go ahead and drop that off on the Necessary Convo IG page as well, just to make sure that you guys stay tapped into all the platforms. But, man, we had a good time, man. We had a special guest that came and sung 2 selections. She was rocking out, an artist right here in Atlanta. It was a lot of women. I ain't even gonna lie to you, man. It was a lot of women, and I believe it was a lot of women. I'm gonna say the first reason why I think it's a lot of women because it was also fight night, right? Because there was literally a fight at State Farm Arena here in Atlanta. So I ain't mad. I understand the fellas. You know, they want to get in there. I don't think there's been a championship fight here in Atlanta ever. So that was a big deal. So
yeah,
it's all good. But there was a lot of amazing women that came out to support business owners, career professionals, entrepreneurs, just moms, aunties, auntie, all that. And it was good, man. So shout out to the Rob Malloy brand, Empower Media Group, Reality Checks, Empowerment Zone, and all the other sponsors, man. It was a lot of sponsors, man. I was surprised that, you know, we had so many sponsors this second quarter, if you will. You know, folks usually say they ran out of money. So it worked out, and we look forward to doing it next year, man. So it's going to be even bigger and better. So salute to everybody that supported from afar and from that was actually there. So you'll be able to see some pictures, the video, the recap. It's crazy.
That's dope, man. Yeah, I think you said your mom and dad was there too, right?
My parents was there. Yeah, man. I had got my parents, you know, a nice little some accommodations at the spot, and they had a good time, man. They were actually honored, man. They was actually honored, the king and queen of the luxury ball, man. So it really was super dope. When you guys check out the recap, you'll see a lot of that stuff. I won't give too much away. It was pretty dope, man. We had a good time all together.
That's what's up. I can't wait to see that joint. Yeah, everybody looked nice. They looked nice in there. That's what's up, man. That's what's needed.
Yeah. Very necessary. Yeah, more to come, man. Definitely more to come. And not only here in Atlanta, but, you know, you never know. You never know. So that was that. I'm good. ATL is good. You know, ATL is ATL, man. I try not to to put too much thought into it because you never know. So everything is good over here, man. Just celebrating life, happy to be on this platform with you, my brother. I got a chance to spend some time with my parents this morning. And like I said, man, just took full advantage of the day, didn't worry about the symbolism of the date and stuff like that. That's not what it's about for me or my family. We every single day we have an opportunity, man, we're gonna celebrate it to the fullest, like it's our last. So that's our mantra. That being said, look, man, we're gonna jump right in. We appreciate you guys checking us out. Now remember, if you want to jump into the conversation, even if it's not particularly about the subject, if you have a question or you had some shit you want to say last week, you can go ahead and get it all. Just make sure you press one, and then we'll get you onto the show. Now, we don't know your phone number. We don't know your name, no caller ID. We don't know any of that stuff. You don't have to give us your real name if you don't. You know, we have some alias folks that are consistently calling in every week. So none of that is any of our concern. We just want to make sure that whatever you feel, whatever you want to express, you do that and you don't hold back. And it's cool. So that's why it's necessary convo, because we need to have these truthful, transparent conversations. And so that's what we're going to do, man. Hey, Tony, let's just jump in, man. Go ahead and talk about it, man.
Let's jump right into it. So, as you know or don't know, Bill Cosby was released from jail, and I've been seeing a lot of it's been a lot of mixed reviews, you know, as far as him being released. But one of the things that I seen that got my attention was I want to make sure I'm saying her name right. Felicia Rashad, right? Wife from The Cosby Show. She made a post.
Claire Hodgson.
Exactly. She made a post, you know, saying, you know, it's about time, and she was happy that he was released and, you know, found innocent or whatever. And the social media world, like, really lit her up. So I was like, I was kind of confused on it because it's like, okay, in the court of law, they say you're not guilty, then you're not guilty, right? Mm-hmm. But then I was thinking about it because people were saying, like, you know, he admitted to giving them drugs and stuff like that. So I was thinking about that, and something popped in my head. I sent you the video, DG. I was like, wow, well, it's a female rapper, popular rapper, that admitted to drugging and robbing men and women lovers. So is it a double standard when it comes to that, when it comes to that sexual abuse? Women getting a slap on the wrist and men getting their lives destroyed, which they should if they do, if you do it, if you're doing it, you should get your life destroyed. But in this case, he was found out. I mean, he, you know, they let him out. So nothing happened to that rapper that admitted that.
That's tough, man. Before you guys, because I know we already got callers waiting, but before we get into that, you know, for me, man, I kind of had to. I'm not an attorney, you know. I never studied law. I never been interested in becoming, you know, any of that in the court system. But as a black man, there's like things that you just know, and there's some things that you just need to know, and some things that you're gonna learn, right? And so one thing that I learned is it's not what you did, it's what you can prove. As a black man, this is something that I've learned. It's not what you did, it's what you prove, because there's a lot of people out here that's guilty of things, right? But they have someone that knows the law and uses the law to their advantage to, you know, get them out of situations. And whether it be, you know, from jail time or prison time to, you know, lesser offenses and things like that. Like you can negotiate with, you know, the prosecutor and the district attorney and stuff like that. You can negotiate. So that doesn't mean that you ain't do the shit. That just means that there was some type of agreement to where if you say this XYZ, they will do XYZ. So I think that's important to say before I even go any further, because from what I learned, there was two different suits. There was a civil suit that Cosby had to deal with a particular individual that he settled. So in other words, he had said that I had did some shit, right? Now, however, the criminal situation was a prosecutor that used the information from the civil situation, right, to where he was supposed to have immunity, meaning if he says some shit, it can't be used against him because they have a deal. And that's how he got released. So he was released because they had to vacate that particular charge because it wasn't done the right way. Because I had no idea. I just thought he was going to be in there forever. I ain't even going to lie to you. I thought Bill Cosby was just going to be through. NG, I thought it was just going to be, hey, one day he 98 years old, he couldn't take it no more or whatever, because I don't know what conditions. I don't know if he in there watching the Cosby Show on a 40-inch flat screen. I don't know. We're not going to know that stuff. So I just thought it was over for the brother. And you know, there's a lot of brothers out here that, and, you know, it could be over for them if they don't have the proper team, legal team, finances, and resources to be able to maneuver like some of the other cultures maneuver. Come on now.
We
know some people that have blatantly done some things, right? That there is incriminating evidence, right? Even a confession, even multiple witnesses, and then they still don't do any prison time. Am I lying, Tom? Or am I making it up? There's some people that, you know, that were able to get lesser offenses and things like that. So anyway, so that being said, and I know we got college school, but you know, for me, it really wasn't about, okay, you know, what are all the things that he did, because obviously you're going back 20 plus years. We're talking about 20 plus years.
We're talking about 40 years.
Well, yeah, altogether, all his activity, 40 years. But from what I'm understanding, the case that he went to prison for, either was close to 20 or close to 30, because this popped up days before the statute of limitations would have kicked in, meaning he wouldn't have been able to be tried because that whole situation was over a certain amount of time. So I'm just going by that. Like, if we start talking about what the folks was doing back in the 70s and 60s, man, it'll be disgusting, right? You won't believe it. They wouldn't believe it. And, you know, I saw something that was really interesting, and I sent that to you, where some reporter was talking to Judge Joe Brown about the situation.
Joe Brown, yeah.
They were talking to Judge Joe Brown, and, you know, Judge Joe Brown was like, look, the accountability part we have to talk about is we have to talk about these women being accountable, meaning knowing what they were doing. Like, he was saying that these were groupies. Like, groupies, you know what they're there for. Like, it wasn't women that he just picked off the street. It wasn't people that he had, you know, was courting and stuff like that. That's what they came for. They came to be closer and see what they can experience with these folks. And so the reporter was like, yo, but he admitted for giving them Quaaludes and giving them pills, stuff like that. And Judge Brown was like, well, he may have given it to them, but he didn't force it down their throat. And I was like, damn, this is a judge. This is a judge talking. This ain't no dude off the street just, you know, popping shit. So he was just like, yo, let's get to the facts of it. And what was going on back then was going on back then. So if you wanna dig up Bill Cosby, then you need to dig up some of these people who are senators now, who are governors now, who are mayors now, who are in the cabinet and things like that. You got to include them. Why single out this dude? And so I thought that was pretty powerful, man, when he started doing that. So, you know, is it unfortunate? Yeah, of course. And you know, the things that he's done is absolutely, you know, terrible. But again, I don't know all the facts. And again, it has been some time, not that it's saying that it's okay, but it's almost like if something needed to be done, if they felt some type of way, if they wanted to continue to press the issue, then why would it be at this particular time? Why not beforehand? And it seems like a rabbit hole if we just start digging, man. And I'd rather just kind of hear from the folks about that, man, because, again, in our black community, people are torn for some reason. You know, they're torn. They're torn for Bill Cosby, but they wasn't torn when you have these other folks, especially of other ethnicities, that are getting away with all kind of crimes. Pedophilia, trafficking, human trafficking. And that's not happening 20, 30 years ago. That's happening now. So you're talking to the wrong person when you want to start, you know, dealing with this particular subject with something that has happened decades ago, when so much is going on now that can be done about it, and the justice system has failed us when it came to that.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is this. I mean, you know, if you're wrong, you need to go to jail, right? You need to get punished for it. Because it's not, I don't care white, black, whatever race you are, it's not a cool thing to take advantage of anybody. But, you know, you, like, my thing is with the women, like, you got to have that same energy that you got for Bill Cosby or R. Kelly or whichever one of these guys that did that. You got to have the same energy for the women, too. You get what I'm saying? Like, you can't sweep what this one rapper said under the rug and still support her, but then be mad because Bill Cosby did it. So it's cool to drug men and rob them, but it's bad to drug women. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta have the same energy. That's all. That's just it with me. Like, you gotta look at the situation the same both ways. But we got a call. Let me get this caller on before we get dive deep into it.
Let's do it.
4879 GI Radio, you on?
Hey fellas, how you doing? Thank you.
What up?
Thank
what up?
You.
What's going on?
So to answer your question, Tone, is there a double standard? Absolutely. But we live in a world of double standards. So that's neither here nor there.
Okay.
I mean, that's just, it's kind of a it is what it is situation. Is it wrong? Yes. But as Gigi stated before, it's not what you did, it's what you can prove. And so while she admitted, hey, I drugged and robbed men, you're not going to have a man as a complaining witness to actually file a criminal charge to say, hey, she drugged me and robbed me. That's not going to happen. I don't know if it's the male ego. I don't know what it is, but there are not too many men that are going to call the police and say, yeah, I was with a rapper, or I was with this chick, and she was really a call girl at the time, so which was illegal for me to actually have her as a call girl, but she drugged me and robbed me. I don't know if I had sex with her or not, but I do know that I paid her to have sex, but she drugged me and robbed me. That's not going to happen. As far as the Bill Cosby situation and Felicia Rashad, a lot of people forgot what actually happened. And so, and I've been screaming this from the rooftops because people don't seem to grasp it. What she said was there was a miscarriage of justice. There absolutely was a miscarriage of justice. It's not about him. He didn't get off on a technicality. The violation of the Fifth Amendment is not a technicality. It is a major error, like error to lose your license to practice law error. You cannot give somebody a deal. The prosecutor cannot give somebody a deal and then the next prosecutor say, yeah, nah, I'm not going to honor it. And you knew that they knew what they were doing because you had to get a judge to unseal the civil case. It was sealed. It was sealed because there was an immunity deal. If it wasn't sealed, if there wasn't an immunity deal, there wouldn't be a reason to seal it. So the fact that a judge signed off on it and a prosecutor went asked for it, that meant that they both knew that this was not going to fly. There's no way that the Supreme Court could let it fly, because if they do, then you can offer immunity deals to people all the time. And then once one prosecutor leaves office, the new person can say, yeah, I'm not going to honor that deal, and I'm going to use what you said here to go ahead and file charges against you. And that is self-incrimination. And we are protected from self-incrimination. So despite what he may have done, you cannot do something illegal to try to bring a charge. And if you're going to go the illegal route, you can't go through the courts to do it. If you're going to get justice your way, and be illegal, you don't go to the court for it. You can't. That's just dumb. So the prosecutor and the judge put themselves, their livelihood, and I think people need to realize Bill was worth $400 million. So if they will violate the Fifth Amendment rights of somebody worth $400 million, what do you think they would do to Ray Ray that ain't worth $2,000?
$200. Don't give him that much.
Okay, $200.
He spent $1,800 in the VIP section last night. He's
down to $200. Okay, those are the things that I think people forget. So yes, and if they actually read the deposition, because it was unsealed, so now it was public knowledge because it was
Ain't nobody reading the deposition.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Folks aren't doing that.
Folks aren't doing that. They just want to believe what they've been told. And a lot of times people believe what you tell them and hide the truth in plain sight because it's in writing. The man admitted to a whole lot of stuff that the original complaining witness never said happened. No, that didn't happen. Well, Bill's saying that this happened, because this would be a pattern of criminal acts. But you said, no, that didn't happen, that didn't happen, that didn't happen. But this right here happened? No. So, and the original prosecutor said, I can't get a conviction. So what I will do is offer an immunity deal for him to participate in your civil case. And maybe you can get justice there. But you can't do that. So there indeed was a miscarriage of justice. Bill may have done a whole lot of foolery. This particular charge happened, this incident happened in 2003, 2004. So it took that long for somebody to go arrest him, but you arrested him 12 days before the statute of limitations ran out and 5 days before he signed a deal to own a major network.
There's a lot about this story.
Yeah, so a lot of people, but again, if you don't actually read the parts and you just listen to what the media is saying, oh, he admitted to giving them Quaaludes. No, the man said we gave people Quaaludes in the 70s. Quaaludes were popular in the 70s.
Yeah.
So you can't ask an 80-some-odd-year-old man, do you remember what you said 10 years ago in this deposition? No, he don't remember what he said 10 years ago in that deposition. Hell, he might not remember what he said 2 days ago.
Right.
And I think that was the part that Joe Brown was saying, like, what people don't understand is how people partied in the 60s and 70s is totally different. Like, pills and drugs and stuff like that, that was a part of the party. It wasn't, like, frowned upon. Like, that's what they did. You know what I'm saying? So
correct.
It's just like we're looking at it now like you gave somebody cocaine, da 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 da, but that's how they partied back in the day.
That's how they partied, and if you want to get down to it in the entertainment industry, that's how they paid you.
Hmm.
Like, I mean, if they didn't give you cash, they would give you coke.
Yeah.
Like, let's be very real. Hey, I got 8 ounces for you. Can you do – I mean, so – It wasn't frowned upon until much later until the whole war on drugs kicked off, and then it's you can't party with drugs. But before that, man, that is what they did, and you mix this drug with that drug and this drug with this alcohol to get this effect, and they knew what they were doing, and he is right. And I am a woman, and I am a sexual abuse survivor, so I say this 10 toes down. You can't go and put yourself in a situation to where you are in danger and act like I didn't know it was going to happen. You a lie. I didn't know if I drank a fifth of Hennessy, I'd be drunk. You're lying. You knew after the third shot, I'm feeling a little tipsy. You didn't have to drink the whole bottle. So.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we do have to have accountability. And in this case, this woman knew exactly where she was going, exactly who she was dealing with, exactly what type of arrangement he wanted. And you went back multiple times. So I understand. Joe Brown said it a little harsher than I think you really want to hear. He was very harsh and very raw, but again, once you talk to folks over 60 years old, they have no filter. So if you're expecting them to have sensibilities, that don't exist. They don't have a filter.
They're going to exercise their rights.
Their rights to say whatever
they're
going to
exercise their modern day. They're going to exercise their modern day rights, which is, you know what, I can say whatever the hell I want to say and how I want to say it. And hell, I mean, there's so many platforms now that aren't even censored anyway. So that kind of backfired on folks in the industry. So that was a lot of knowledge. That was a lot of information that you had dropped on us, which I think helps. It should help if people are actually. If they want to know what the facts are, you know, because that's what you really have to deal with. You know, we can deal with emotions and opinions all day long, but it boils down to the facts. And so if you want to know why he was released, those were the facts, you know, and there's nothing you can do about it, right? There's nothing you can do about it.
You know what, Gigi? I just think in this day and time, like, the truth just don't matter anymore. It's just people – they'd rather, you know, fuss and argue about him doing what he's doing than really to get down to the truth. You know what I mean? Like, to really understand the truth. And that's just the time we're in. It's a lot of situations, men and women, where people made judgments and people were wrong. Like, they didn't even care about the truth. The truth is right here. But it was just so much better stoning these people that you didn't even care about finding out what the real situation was.
You're right, Tone. You're absolutely right, because the other part of this was the prosecution allowed people to testify that had no intentions of filing criminal charges. So there was no vetting of what they said to be true. It's just they, you know, basically jumped on the bandwagon to say he did these things, but you never filed a police report. You never intended on filing criminal charges. So now 30 years later, you want to say these things happened? And it's like that doesn't really – that, again, is illegal. So it's one thing if you're saying Bill did something illegal based on today's sensibilities and today's rules and regulations. But it is another thing for the prosecution and the judge that heard the case to do something illegal, to try to convict him on things that happened years ago based on today's sensibilities and today's rules and today's laws. So they're two totally different things. You can't – so in that, I think, is what Judge Joe Brown was saying, like, look, you got to look – the facts, they're right here. This is how this – we operated here. Back then, this is what we were doing. And something else that, you know, Gigi alluded to was that, you know, we see other people of different ethnicities that have done worse than what Bill did, but we don't see any criminal charges. And I think this is a good reminder that no matter how much money Bill Cosby has, he was still a black man. So he can't play white boy games and have the same treatment. He can't.
Clearly.
And I think he forgot that he was a black man because he had so much money. So, and I party with these people like this. I party with these white guys like this. And we did, we all were given quaaludes. We all were having, you know, so I'm going to do the exact same thing that my money will allow me to do. But when it came to the charges, you didn't see any of them that had not been charged coming to his defense, knowing that they were all in the same party.
I think the same thing happened to all these like black powerful black guys. I think that on the way up the ladder, they get introduced into these, you know, corporate and high powered meetings and parties, and they start feeling like they're one of them. And it's cool, you know, because you're making them money. I think Bill Cosby thing came when he tried to buy the other half of NBC. That's when it's like, hold on, you're not one of us like that. You get what I'm saying? You cool to make us money and party, but now you're trying to purchase the other half of NBC. That's not going to happen. And I'm pretty sure they had this thing waiting to bubble. Like, they sit on stuff like this. You know what I mean? I remember one time a celebrity had an interview, and they were saying, like, they, you know, these high-powered people, they send these women at you. They send certain women at you at these parties and stuff to get, you know, dirt on you, and they hold it until the right time, you know. And I want everybody to be clear. I'm not saying that, you know, all of these ladies is lying. You know what I mean? Because maybe one of them is. He may did do something, you know, to one of these girls.
They all could be telling the truth. They all of them could be telling the truth. The thing about it is they all could be telling the truth. But once they gave him an immunity deal, it doesn't matter. It might matter in the court of public opinion, but the court of public opinion is not the legal system. It is not the court of law. So just because we might feel like he needs to be punished in some way, shape, form, or fashion, legally, he could not be punished because somebody gave him a deal. So those are the things that I think we need to remember. The court doesn't operate based on how we feel. The court operates based on what is legal. Now, was the system written to benefit us? No, it wasn't. But this went a little bit too far because there's some those same ethnicities are sitting back watching. Because if you can violate Bill Cosby's Fifth Amendment right to use what was in an after an immunity deal was given, the same immunity deals that they had because they settled some stuff out of court could now be in jeopardy. So they weren't going to let this go. They just weren't.
No doubt. No doubt. That's a lot of information that we was able to learn. And you know, people will continue to feel how they feel because they're going to be in their emotions, right? They're going to be in their emotions, so they don't want to think logically. They just want to feel how they feel, you know. So that's just going to be what it is. But I was glad that we was able to get, you know, some information out here that could help people to at least do your own due diligence before formulating, you know, whatever you want to formulate. And so, caller, man, appreciate you. We're gonna have to call you. We're gonna have to give you a name because every time you get on here, you're dropping some knowledge. You're dropping some knowledge. Definitely, you're dropping some facts. You know, you're giving us the insider. So we're gonna have to come up with something. But we definitely appreciate your feedback, your comments, and the information you blessed us with. So thank you. Thank you for chiming in.
No problem. No problem. No problem.
Absolutely, Kevin. Have a good night.
You too.
Yeah, for sure. So let me just remind everybody, this is Necessary Convo, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every single damn Sunday. Tonight's topic, we're talking about a few things, man. The first thing we jumped on here, we kind of talked about the Bill Cosby being released. And we also even talked a little bit about, and I actually want to chime in, I want to move and transition over to the double standard of it. Now, we're not belittling, downgrading, or negating the whole Bill Cosby case because it's a serious case that he dealt with. And, you know, we're talking about the actual case that happened and was closed, just like the caller said. It was sealed. And so the unsealing of that case and him being retried, that had to be vacated because it was illegally done. And so that's why he was released, because of the criminal charges. The evidence was used from a previous case that was already sealed. He had immunity from that particular case, meaning you can't use that shit twice for no reason, right? And so that's what happened, and so that's why he was released. Because a lot of people don't even understand how he got out of jail. Oh, prison. I'm sorry. Let's not say jail, because jail and prison, too.
Yeah, prison.
Jail, you can call your mom. You can call your mama free while you're in the holding cell. Right, until you got to put on the orange stuff, and then in prison, hey, you can call your mom. It's going to be a collect call only, and you ain't going to be able to see it like you want to. So, you know, so I want to get the facts out, because a lot of people aren't able to speak intelligently about the facts of the case. When I saw one guy, and he wasn't a friend of mine. Somebody shared it. You know, bad news travels fast. So somebody shared that this dude said, I don't care who Bill Cosby is, I have daughters, he should still be in jail. He should still be in prison. That was his post. I don't care who Bill Cosby is, I have daughters, he should still be in prison. So one of the things I had wanted to – right, let that sizzle. One of the things that I had wanted to mention is, you know, these things happened over 20 years ago, right? So in my head, when all this stuff happened, I was like, yo, Bill creeping on Camille like that? I'm thinking that the shit that happened like in the last 60 days, 6 months, last couple years, and they found out. I did not realize this stuff was over two decades ago. So I'm saying that to say, if a person has been charged with something, right, and they're brought to justice, and that's handled through the justice system, at what point can that man begin the rehabilitation process? Because I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the things that Bill Cosby has done in the for the culture, you know, in education, the communities, just all around. Think of the last, think of within the last 10 to 15 years, the things that he has contributed to the black culture. I would say, I would consider that above average, right? That would be above average, right? The average man isn't doing those type of things, well, obviously because they don't have those resources, but you still have to think about the effort and the execution of those mm-hmm. things, right? So you give a pass to a local person or someone with of less character that has not been rehabilitated, that needs rehabilitation, that needs therapy, that needs counseling, that needs resources, you want to give them multiple chances. And I'm not even getting into other cultures, how they only get slaps on the wrist. I don't even want to get into that because I'm going to get upset. But at what point can a person move on?
I think here's my thing. It's just, like I said, it's true. Like, if it's true, I have to agree with the guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you, and this is my opinion, if you, you know, rape a woman, molest a kid, or snitch, it's no coming back from that, right? To me, it's no rehabilitation. It's no, like, no. You know, I don't care if it was 30 years ago, 50 years ago, like, you did that. You're not a man no more to me, in my eyes. If it's 100% true that you did these things, you're no longer a man. There's no church you can go to. There's no prayer you can say for me that's going to change my mind. Like, okay, well, he raped this woman, but it was like 30 years ago. Or he touched this kid, but it was, you know, 40 years ago. He changed, man. No, not in my eyes. Like, once you do those acts or snitch, like those three acts right there, because here's the thing, what you've done, yeah, you might change, but that person that woman that you raped or that child that you hurt is going to have that for the rest of their life. And you don't know how you mm-hmm. change them. You know what I'm saying? And some kids and some women don't get over that. You know what I mean? They don't get over it. It changes the way they live their life. So you shouldn't be able to, you know, do those type of things and then, you know, be praised. Or be like, well, that was back in the day. Like I said, if Bill Cosby did these things, like if it's facts, like he really gave girls drugs and raped them, not like they partied and sex happened and the girls, you know, now they 30 years later, like, oh, yeah, he did rape me. I'm talking about, like, if it's facts that he did do that, then, yeah, I've got to agree with the guy. Like, he needs to be in jail. I don't care what he did for the community or how much money he got. I don't care if he got $400 million or $400. That's what I'm saying. Like, I just get upset with the culture because we pick and choose who we want to, you know, who we want to be. Like, we pick and choose, like, okay, this person did it. He need to die. He need to throw him into the cell. This person do it. Oh, well, that ain't that bad. It wasn't that bad. It ain't that much. They cool. Now, we can't be like that, mm-hmm. man. Like, you touching kids and raping women, you need to be in jail for life, period. No matter how much money you gave to the community, that can be your front. Like, that's how you keep the community on your side. You out here molesting kids, but you giving $20 million to the Boys and Girls Club. You see what I'm saying? Like, and 9 times out of 10,
right.
that's how these people do it. So,
well, that's a serious way of thinking, because if you're saying that, then you're also saying that everybody has to have a perfect past. Like, you can't make any mistakes, or if not, you're picking and choosing what mistakes a person can make that where they could be vindicated versus not. Because you have to think about it like this. And I respect it. I'm not even challenging you. I just thought that was really interesting. But there are many people that have had paths, right, from different things that have changed, right? You can't say everybody hasn't changed. Like, you may view them or you may judge them like, okay, you're still – that individual that did those things 20, 30 years ago. I understand that. But let me back up. You said a few different things, which I think is significant. First, you talked about, you know, molestation, pedophilia type situation. You were talking about rape. And all those things are so, so important. And I think it's really, really serious, and that has to be addressed. If everybody who did things had to pay the price, meaning it was discovered, they was properly tried and brought to justice, there would be a lot of folks in jail who should be in jail, and there'd be a lot of people in jail who shouldn't be in jail. You understand what I'm saying? Because you got to understand, there's people that's also in jail. We had a show a few months ago that did not rape the woman that, you know, said. I mean, you can go back to the Emmett Till situation. So people were feeling, you know, a certain way about that until justice prevailed on these folks' deathbed when they said that they lied. So I said that to say you still have to get to the facts. People are talking without getting to the facts and making those judgment calls.
But that's why I said if it's fact, like not just he say she say, right? Because you know you have to know the truth before you can judge somebody, right? If somebody came to me and said this person did this, I'm not gonna automatically just go and be like, oh man, forget. Put him in jail, da da da. We need to know that he actually did it, because we know, and history has told us that people lie. You know what I'm saying? People say stuff. People make up stories. So once it's proven that you did these things, like, it's no coming back from it. You know what I mean? Like, me personally, I don't know how I would be able to communicate with somebody that I know raped a kid or a woman. I don't know if I could ever have I don't know even without conversation. Even if it's 30 years ago, if I find out, like, I'm gonna keep it real with you, right? I'm not gonna sit on this.
Mm-hmm.
I literally had a situation like this last a year and a half ago, right? So I'm kicking it with somebody I grew up with. I never knew his history of what he was doing. You know what I mean? As far as women, you know, rape or whatever the case. I never knew that. I found out. And that day I found out that was it. Like, you can never come back around me ever again. You can't be nowhere I'm at. Nothing. You get what I'm saying? Like, even though those things were early 2000s, it don't matter. Because now I don't even know how – I don't look at you like a man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't look at you like – I would never be able to look at you like a man, me personally. Now, some people can forgive people. Yeah. Some people say, you know, he changed or whatever. I just can't do it, man. I can't. And I don't think I would ever be able to do it. You know what I'm saying? You're the scum of the earth to me. Like, if you rape a woman or left a kid. And like I said, when I say the snitch thing, I mean, if you're in the streets, if you're a regular citizen, then, of course, you have the right to tell what you say because you're not in that world. But if you're in that world, you're choosing to be in this world. So when you get caught, you have to take the consequences that come with being in that world. You know what I'm saying? So you can't that's snitch. So, yeah, that's just my views. Like I said, everybody's different, man. And
yeah, everybody's different.
I can
absolutely.
Dig it, but I can't. I don't, you know, the time don't make no difference. You did it, and you ruined somebody's life forever. You know, the way that woman probably loved, the way that woman looked at men, the way she probably looked at her family, you know what I mean? This, or that kid, you destroyed that kid's life. You know, it's crazy because I was talking to my wife. I was telling her I watched the interview with the rapper in New Orleans. I can't think of his name right now. Kevin Gates,
mm-hmm.
And he was on the Mike Tyson show, and he just came out and said that this is the first time he ever said it through all these years that, you know, somebody molested him when he was young. That's why he don't like people touching him. And I'm not sure if you follow Kevin Gates and stuff, but you know, when he do interviews or he's on stage and somebody will touch his leg, mm-hmm. like he'll like lose. You get what I'm saying? And nobody
okay.
never knew why.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, he's being arrogant. oh, he think he hard, he think he this, he think he that. No. You know, now it all makes sense why he don't like people touching him, women or men. You know what I'm saying? He don't like them touching him. So that's why,
yeah,
I think that stuff stick with people their whole life. So there's no way I would be able to, you know, and how do you get help for that? Like, what you know what I'm saying? I don't know, man. It's just,
yeah,
it's just one of those things.
It's a part of life, man, and it's a part of coping. I mean, you know, we can't say that people can't get help, but they have to want help and they have to go through that process. Just like there's a possibility of being able to heal. Just because people are hurt doesn't mean that they can't heal. They just have to, again, you know, accept and be willing to go through that process, whatever it takes, however long it takes, because you don't know. But it definitely, you know, is something you have to be willing to do. No one, I personally don't feel that anyone else can heal you. They can assist you and aid you in the process, but you have to want it, you know, and you have to want it for yourself and then go through that process. And it's a challenge, man. But listen, I don't want to let, we talked about Bill, I don't want to let Cardi off the hook, right? Because she's not the only one that has said something before. I want to say that a few rappers have, a few female rappers have said it. And you know what? I ain't even going to lie. I've heard about it plenty of times. Be here in Atlanta, even, you know, being in the
yeah.
room, hearing about it in other cities. Hey, you got a little too excited, man. I need you to just chill for a minute. Let me get this off. but seriously, I used to hear about it all the time. Listen, I used to hear about there being, you know, women out here that, you know, got guys thinking that they're going to come over for sex or linking up for sex or whatever. Or maybe they slipped something in their Heineken or something in their beer and they, you know, go home with the dude and then they got, you know, people just like ready once he's drunk or once he get to a certain point. I mean, I heard of women cutting brothers' pockets, right, while you sleep. You know, you just cut the pocket. That way you ain't got to dig in it. You cut the pockets, you know, to get to the wallet and things like that. That stuff is real. Like, it happens. And like the caller said, and I appreciate her because she was bold enough to jump on this particular subject. A lot of people are like, yo, this may be a little too hot. May make me feel some type of way of having that dialogue, but it does happen. And I do think it's a double standard because if guys came out and said, hey, you know what? Hey, Shawty had got me, man. You know, it was like, I thought that, you know, this and that. And they're like, okay, but you a grown-ass man. How are you going to allow that to happen? And if they came out, you know, they would be ostracized, obviously. And probably called, you know, all kind of things if they try to press charges. But it does happen, though. Like, that's real. There's plenty of reports about, you know, guys being drugged and robbed and, you know, put at gunpoint once they get back to, you know, whatever they think is going to happen. And like you said, you had somebody that admitted that was they, that was one of their licks. That's how they was hitting licks.
Yeah, definitely. I know it happens for a fact. I managed the club for 2 years. You know what I'm saying? And I just, man, some of the stuff I've seen and some of the stories I heard in those clubs, it's like, you know, that TV stuff is not, it's real, man. It's really real. And people really don't be paying attention to their surroundings. It'd be a whole scam going on. It'd be like five or six girls in on it. You know what I'm saying? And they...
Right,
and the
right,
guys
right.
slipping, they catch them. You know what I mean? Sometimes they don't even have to drug them. You know what I mean? It's just the fact that the guys think he's leaving with somebody that's failing them. You know what I'm saying? And they pretend they got a room. Or once they're in the room, the guy's already in there. So, you know, it's just one of
yeah.
those things. And like you said, if the guy come out and be like, you know, oh, these girls robbed me, everybody's going to be like, oh, you're a coward. Like, why you snitch on them? We should have got to eat that one. You know what I'm saying? Well, you got to chalk it up.
Yeah.
But if a guy do
yeah.
that to a woman, he is life. Like, he's done. It's life over. So. It's just one of those things, man. I just need to be careful.
It is one of those things. And I will say one more thing about the situation. Bill Cosby has been singled out, but was he alone all the time doing this type of – who showed him how to do it? Where did he learn the behavior from? What type of people was he around? Who helped put him in position and kind of was like, yo, this is what we do? Like, he didn't create it, right? It was before his time. The fact of, you know, meeting women, you know, women that, you know, are looking to have some type of gain, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whether they're trying to, you know, fill you out or whatever. He's not the first person ever to have experienced this, right? So we have to think about that. But why is he being singled out? And so that's another rabbit hole, and we're running out of time. But, again, you know, I think we have to look at it, you know, overall. Just as people and look at the justice system, or some may consider it injustice system, and is there racial equality? And because we can no longer go with the economic or the social economic equality, because obviously this is a guy that had bread. He had plenty of bread. He had plenty of, you know, he had attorneys that could do what he do and things like that. He had resources, and he obviously was in a powerful place, but even being in a powerful place, and as you mentioned, with the things that he was trying to accomplish, a lot of folks did not like that. And we're in the U.S. A lot of folks did not like that power play that he was trying to do. And, you know, call it conspiracy if you want, but we've seen this over and over again, and it seems like once you get to a certain plateau, then, you know, you definitely have a bigger target on your back to where they don't want you to get to a certain echelon of a power, a position. And that's just the reality of it.
But honestly, I blame – more the blame is on Bill Cosby from me, because, you know, these people, you get money and you start feeling like you're a part of the team. You know, people really forget, like, the money don't mean nothing. Like the caller said, he's $400 million and they was violating him. Like, but they get this money, and somebody like Bill Cosby has had money for so long and has been removed from the inner city or whatever you want to call it, middle class, for so long that you start feeling like you are part, and you really not. And they show up every single time. Think about it. Everybody successful that's gotten successful, they done knocked them down some kind of way because they started feeling like they belong. So they started going outside of what they usually do. Okay, I want to buy this, like Michael Jackson. You know, he owned half of Sony. He wanted to buy the other half of Sony. Now he raping kids. Now he's crazy. You know, every single time somebody want to do something, it's something crazy. The only person that I've seen to beat the system is Michael Jordan. I mean, his dad died, but, you know, he was able to own a basketball team. And they allowed that to happen. Yeah. I mean, maybe because he was just so popular and sport, but that's the only person I ever seen like beat the system as far as like ownership, real ownership.
Well, I would say two things to that, and I know we're going to wrap it up. The first thing, when you mentioned about, you know, them trying to do certain things and getting knocked down, I wouldn't hope that somebody wouldn't try anyway. Like, he tried to buy – Mike Jackson tried to buy the other part of Sony. Bill Cosby tried to buy the entire network of NBC. I wouldn't tell them not to try and do that, because if that was the case, then our forefathers and ancestors, when it came to being able to read or being able to write or being able to invent or being able to find a way to build an underground railroad, what if they never did those things? What if they was like, you know what, did you gonna get your ass beat? Is it worth getting your ass beat and not do that? That would change the trajectory of what I would say our future and where we are. And I'll say the second part, even with Mike Jackson, hold on, I'll let you do yours. I'll let you do yours. Let me do mine. Even with Michael Jordan, right? Even with Michael Jordan, and even with a lot of the other successful folks, you got to throw Jay-Z in there, right? You have to. We don't know the prices that they also pay. We don't know what they currently have to deal with in order to sustain what they, you know, we don't know what those sacrifices are. You know what I mean? So if you can have an honest conversation, which I don't know if we would ever be able to do that, it would have to be behind closed doors and you can't say nothing. If they would trade whatever they had to trade off for that particular success or to go a certain direction, we don't know if they would do it again. We don't know that. And so I think that's important because we don't know what the trade-offs are for people to have a certain amount of success, because I think there's plenty of people, like you said, that get to a certain level and they're good. Hey, I made $1 million. I made $2 million. I made $10 million. I'm good. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna live my life. I'm gonna get off the grid, because we know people that have gotten the money and then that now they're off the grid. So there has to be thousands, if not millions, of people that already go that route, and it takes an exceptional human being to go against the odds and to go against whatever they have, whatever that fate is. Whatever that fate is, we don't know if he would have done it the same way again. I mean, if he would have done it again, not the same way, but if he would have done it again. Like, we don't know if he probably would have still done it again, but done it a little different. But, man, I truly believe in, man, reaching your highest potential on this earth, because once you leave this earth, that's not the end. It's better. I mean, I truly believe that the life after being on this earth is better. So if being, you know, here on earth means something, then that means you want to live it to the fullest, reach your fullest potential, give it all you got every single day. Because once all that's said and done, obviously you want to leave a legacy. But once you leave here, man, it's better, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what I'm about when it comes to that.
I just think that, here's the thing, this is the problem with the black community. Right? We want to be accepted by white America so bad. Like, some people don't even feel like they're successful unless they're doing business with white corporate America, right? So, Bill Cosby, if you have the money to buy NBC, why not start the Bill Cosby Network? You don't have to worry about anything. You get what I'm saying? Like, why would you even put yourself in a position to buy something that's ran by people that don't even want you on it? You're just making the money. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. This is the thing that kills me with Black America. Like, create your own. You sacrificed and you built the brand and got the money to do what you want to do. But then you go and try to do it with them. They don't want you to have it. You get what I'm saying? Like, so it's pointless. So I would say, Bill Cosby, that was a stupid move. Did you really think they were going to let you buy NBC? did you really think that? I mean, like really, did you really think that? If you sat down and was like, they're going to let me buy NBC. Are you crazy? No. You create your own. You have the money. You have the resources. Now, for people that don't have resources and don't have the type of funding, yeah, you have to partner. That's business. You have to do what you have to do. You know what I'm saying? But like Oprah, you know what I mean? I'm not a big fan of Oprah. But I can respect the fact that she was like, you know what? I'm going to get my own network. That way I make decisions. I say what come on here. I pick what I want to do. The smartest thing she ever did. You get what I'm saying? Like, I just didn't get that. Even with Michael Jackson, it's like, okay, Mike, you already got these people mad because you brought the Beatles in. I can't think of the other, Elvis. You brought their master. And there's a whole host of other people. So they already want you dead already for that. Now you want to buy the other part of Sony? You know what come with that.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Like, you got, that's what I'm saying. People got to be a little bit smarter. Like, that's, again, because you feel like you are a part. No matter how, you can have $900 billion. You're never going to be a part. So when you get that money, we have to create our own. Because guess what? Oprah can, well, she don't have kids, but she has her own network. So now she can say, here. You know, here to them. Sony is, belongs to somebody else created that. That was created and built on Tony, I think his name is Tony Mottola. Yeah, that's his, that's what he built. Cause, you know, we gotta stop being scared of starting our own. We can't keep saying we want black owned, but we keep going into business and doing stuff with, not saying that's not a problem, but we need our own. You know, we don't have, outside of Oprah, BET is not even owned by a black person. Black entertainment television is not even owned by a black person. This is crazy. You get what I'm saying? So Bill Cosby, if you was going to buy something, you should have brought that instead of letting Viacom buy it. It just, I mean, that's just my, you know, my way of thinking, right? That's just how I think. But it don't, I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm just, that's just my opinion. So we got to have our own guy. Like, I would never go and try to buy Walmart. You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm just going to start my own Walmart, my own personal Walmart. I would never want to go and buy Walmart. Like, for what? I'm just making that brand even bigger. Like, that's not my name. It has nothing to do with me. But, you know, that's just my way of thinking. But hold on, this caller want to get back on. Let me get her on before we got about 7 minutes. Let me get her back on. 4879, you on.
Okay, Tone, I got to stop.
What's happening?
I got to stop you, Tone. So, you know, I'm big on, let me give you the facts. Mike wanted to buy Sony because Sony wouldn't let him buy his masters. So because they wouldn't let him buy his masters and Sony fell into bankruptcy and needed a cash infusion, they wouldn't sell him his masters. So his solution was to buy the other half of Sony. So he could then own the Jackson 5 collection as well, because most people don't know that Sony bought part of Motown. And so the Jackson 5 never got those masters, the rights to those masters. Mike originally just wanted to buy what belonged to the Jacksons. It didn't happen. So to your point, Mike forgot that he wasn't one of them and that he couldn't play the game the same way that he bought the Beatles catalog and he bought Elvis's catalog. Because when he did those, he was very quiet about it. Nobody knew that he owned it until he owned it.
Mm-hmm.
For Sony, they weren't going to let him openly buy the Jackson's catalog back. They weren't. Now, whether Michael wanted to have it, you know, all to himself or if he wanted to give it back to his family, but their family doesn't own their masters. So those are the things that I think we don't understand as far as the way that business operates. They weren't willing to give him what they created, and he was trying to get back what they created. Berry Gordy had already washed his hands of Motown and sold it because he couldn't, his son couldn't, it couldn't. And as far as the black, as far as BET goes, same situation. It got too big, and there was nobody else who wanted to buy it. So Viacom came in. They could not manage it because they never expected BET to get as big as it did. But once it did, they could no longer manage it. And so Viacom could. They were able to. So those types of decisions, you didn't have the Bill Cosbys. You didn't have the Mike, even Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan tried to do a whole lot of things behind the scenes. The only thing that they publicly let him see was something that made sense in his lane because he's a basketball player. But the other stuff, when he started really trying to do a whole bunch of other stuff, that's when he started having scandal. The game is the same no matter where it goes. As long as they stay in the lane that has been decided for them by the powers that be, meaning the people that actually run the entertainment industry, and the entertainment industry is not just music and movies. It's anything that we spend money on. So music, movies, sports, all of it's the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you get out, once you, as long as you play in the lane that has been decided for you, you have no issue. The moment that you start trying to move outside of that lane, you have scandals left and right because you are not. So it's not about can I build my own. Yeah, Michael could build his own, but he can't get back what he created. And the only way to get back what he created was to buy songs. He originally just wanted the Jackson catalog. And Sony owned and owns all of the Jackson masters.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them.
Let me jump in. We're pretty much at the end of today's show, but I want to add this and call her again. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out if I want to call you Miss Wikipedia or if I just want to be a real cool name because you dropping off some serious gems right now. But one thing that I do want to mention and I think is also important is when you are climbing up the ladder, right, and you're learning the game, especially as people of color, you know, Black folks, because we just got to a certain place where we are now empowered in learning things in a place where we have definitely been way behind for centuries. So as we're going through this process and we're learning, we're navigating what success looks like, what are some of the things that we can do to catapult, what are some of the things to help build and build a foundation, things like that. Sometimes you don't realize how far you've come. You're taking victory by victory. So if a person is able to do this and then they move on, they're able to do something a little bit more heavier, and they move on, then that's momentum. Why wouldn't you continue to try? Like, you're not going to know unless you give it a shot. And I think that's what happens because, for me, I'm not in those rooms, right? I'm not in those rooms, and I promise you, but what I do know as a business person, as an entrepreneur, that a person is not just being like, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it regardless. They still have counsel. They still have to have attorneys in place. They still have to have advisors and things like that. Regardless of how bad they want it, they're still not making those moves blindly. Like, a lot of that stuff is calculated, and even to the point to where I think that there was still his legal team knew at some juncture, we have an opportunity to appeal or we have an opportunity to get this thing vacated because we already know that what they did was illegal. So it's almost like, go ahead, do the bid, just like they do on the streets. Go ahead and lay down, right? Go ahead and go sit down for a minute, and I got you. And I'm gonna straighten everything out. And I think that there's going to be a larger, more exciting turnaround once this thing really unfolds. Because obviously they had to vacate the situation, right? So there has to be a recourse for that. You can't just be like, all bad, you out now. Go make some, you know, go remake the Cosby Show or something like that. So there has to be something else coming to where it's going to be something serious. So anyway, so all that being said, Tone, we got to go, man. We got to go. So, Colin, we appreciate you. Thank you. I don't know if I'm going to call her Sister Wiki. Nah, I don't even want to give you the Wikipedia because you drop off some other jewels, man. So I'm going to have to give you something cool. Let me just figure it out, man. I'll take care by the next episode. So check it out, y'all. Every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Terry Convo. I'm GGF the Dark. This is GEI Tone Tone. Why don't you go ahead and let them folks know how they can stay connected and get to this episode and to the future episodes of Necessary Convo.
Definitely, definitely. This was definitely a great one. I had so much more, but we got to run. Again, thanks all. I know it's 4th of July, but thanks to all the callers that chimed in to listen to us tonight. You can follow the show, GEI Radio, on all social media platforms, necessary_convo on IG. You can follow myself, GEI_tone on all social media platforms. Make sure you download our network, GEI Network, on the Roku channel. That's it, GG. What can they find you at?
All right, guys. Again, man, amazing show. We appreciate the call. She was basically our third host. So shout out to her. She was our third host, man. She held things down. So much love and respect. I was about to call her Sister Soldier, and I don't even want to do that. I don't want to do Sister Soldier. My bad. Guys, you can follow me. I got a couple of different platforms, but my social media handles, of course, is GG After Dark, GIGI After Dark. That's IG, website, everything. And also you can find me on Rob Malloy. I am Rob Malloy, I, the letter I, A-M, Rob Malloy on all your social media platforms, including robmalloy.com. So there it is. Until next week, listen, shoot us a DM. Make sure you go to our Necessary Convo IG. We have a Necessary Convo business page coming soon. It'll be up this week. And stay tuned for, you know, the rest of the platforms for Necessary Convo. But definitely if you want to talk about how the show was, if you want to talk about how the show can be, if you want to talk about some ideas for the show, if you want to be a guest on the show, things like that, definitely hit our IG page and obviously the social media platforms that we gave you, myself and Tom. So until then.
Yeah, definitely. And one more thing, DG, one more thing. We will be doing a contest very soon. We're going to be adding a female host to the show. So we're still working on that right now, on how we want to do it. So we will be adding a female host to the show to give us that balance.
Oh, wow.
So be looking out for that real soon. Me and DG, we'll put it together and put out the contest. So
yeah.
I think it's going to be very, very, very soon.
And make sure you can handle it. We're talking about somebody to do good on lives. We're talking about somebody with some experience and somebody that's ready to deal with these two brothers. All right? But, hey, you might be a raw talent, man. You might be a special talent. So we taking all listeners and oncomers, man. So there it is, man. Hey, you guys be safe, man. Be safe. Enjoy your week. Be productive. Blessings, man. We out.
Yo, peace.